Well, our thanks to these men who have led us in worship this evening and also this morning. We're grateful for your service to God and your service for the church. We've made mention that it is an encouragement to others and has been for years past when you let us know that you read through the Bible the past year, and we print a list of that. It has encouraged others to think they could do the same, and they've done so. And so there have been new ones along the way that have read through the Bible. I've learned of four of you so far that read through all the Bible this past year. So please let me know if you did so. We'd like to add your name to the list. From the beginning of the Bible, we see that God has spoken to the hearts of people. You hear it when God asked certain questions of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and he spoke to them about their condition, the condition of their hearts and their lives, which he knew very well. And he spoke to them about their fears. He spoke to them about the future for them. And these words were spoken to the hearts of those people, hearts that God understood. And throughout the Bible, we can see that God, by his prophets and by Moses and through the apostles and preeminently through his son, has spoken to the human heart. And so it is that others have been entrusted with the responsibility to speak to the hearts of people and to bring them God's word. Paul said to Timothy, "Preach the word." But what right, by what authority, may a minister today, a minister of the gospel, a minister of the word of God, speak to a congregation about Christian character? Because it's about that that we're thinking when we talk about the hearts of people. Because there are those who may wish to propose that what's inside a person, that is his inner self, is something that has been predetermined, that it is what it is and it cannot be changed, that it will follow out a course of thinking and therefore a way of living that is based upon natural things and natural causes. There are others that will say that it's just solely a matter of personality, that personality classification really doesn't change. A person develops early in life a personality type and remains that way, and that explains what he is, how he thinks, what he feels, what he desires, what things have control over him, and how much control he has over his own thoughts and so forth. But God speaks to the human heart, and what he has to say to the human heart indicates God's creation of people in his own image, and that we certainly have the ability to respond to God, and that we can change our thoughts, and in changing our thoughts, we can change our ways. And so believing what God has to tell us about this, that is believing the one who made us, we want to devote some time this year. I don't know how many lessons it may become, but we want to devote some time this year to hearing what the Bible has to say about Christian character. And what I'm going to say tonight in this brief introductory lesson is just that. It's by way of introduction to the study of Christian character. I don't know how often I will present these lessons or whether or not they will be all on Sunday evening. Some of them may appear on Sunday mornings, but we invite you to consider this with us in your Bible reading this year. As you read the Bible, whether you're reading it through or studying it by your own program of home study, to think on the subject of Christian character. What does the Bible say to our hearts? Because in speaking to our hearts, God is speaking to all that we are in relation to him. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 6, the Apostle Paul gives a statement about Timothy's duty as a minister of the word in the congregation at Ephesus. We know that that's where Timothy is because of something Paul said to him in the first chapter. And we know what Timothy's general responsibility is with regard to the teaching and the preaching of God's word. This is one of several statements in this letter about Timothy's responsibility as it applies to certain things. So I'm using this as a way to begin to develop our study of what the Bible says about Christian character. 1 Timothy 4 and verse 6, "If thou put the brethren in mind of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine which thou hast followed until now." Now, I've quoted from my translation of preference in Bible study, the American Standard. I know that you study, many of you, from the King James, and I try to be aware of what it says, and others of you study from other translations, New International Version, New American Standard Bible, and others. So there is necessity at times to call attention to certain words. And so what is translated here, to put in mind or to put in remembrance, is a word that simply means to give instruction. And so it's Timothy's responsibility to engage himself personally in this work of laying before the people instruction from God about the matters that Paul is speaking about in this passage when he says these things. So you are to provide this instruction to the people. This is your job, your duty as a minister of the word in the congregation at Ephesus. If you put them in mind of these things, that is, bring these things to their attention, and it is Timothy's obligation to do just that. So then there's the responsibility. But what will that mean with regard to understanding Timothy's identity or his role in the church? Well, Paul is quite plain about that. You will be a good minister of Christ Jesus. The word good here is a general word of description that is to be more fully defined by the context where it's used. And in this case, it has to do with fulfilling this obligation, this responsibility. The word minister is the word that's also used of deacons. It's a word that means, therefore, a servant. And so you'll be a servant of Christ Jesus and a good one if you do this particular job, if you provide this instruction to the congregation about these things. Now, what will be his capability in this matter? We've looked at responsibility and identity or role that Timothy will have in the church. What is his capability or qualification for this? That he is nourished in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine which you follow to now. Now, the word faith here has reference to the teaching that has come from the Lord through the apostles by the Holy Spirit. It's not the word that it's the same word, but it's not used in the sense here of personal faith. But that faith that we have personally is a response to the faith, that is to the teaching, the body of teaching, that is called the faith. It's not the law or the law of Moses. It's not any other system. It's the faith. That is, it's the gospel with all the teaching that's involved in the gospel. So you'll be a person who's nourished in the words of the faith. Because how do we know the faith? We don't know it by sensing it in some so-called spiritual way. We don't feel it. It's not something that just comes to us in some kind of supernatural way. It comes in words. And so Timothy has heard the words, and he's come to understand those words as they taught him the faith. Not only that, he's digested it spiritually so that he is nourished by it. This is talking about the inner person, about the heart of Timothy. He's been nourished in the words of the faith. And it has shaped his thinking. It has led him to have strong convictions. And this is known to Paul, and it qualifies him to speak to others out of his own true heart of understanding and devotion to the faith, nourished in the words of the faith, and of the good doctrine or teaching, that's what doctrine means, which you have followed until now. Now, not all doctrine or teaching is good, but Paul knew that what Timothy had received was good because it was the teaching that God had given by the Holy Spirit to Paul and to others. Timothy had heard that, received it, digested it, taken it into his system spiritually, and now he believed it and was living by it. And he had demonstrated that over a period of time. He has a record spiritually that shows his understanding, his sincere conviction, and his faithfulness to this word. That, again, is talking about his heart, as that heart has been manifested in the way Timothy has lived and served. Paul knows this younger man, this colleague, has confidence in him. He left him at Ephesus to help the church there, as he had sent Timothy to other places in the service of the Lord. Now, he says, you have followed this till now. King James Version uses the word attained to something. And that's not a wrong translation. It captures part of what this word means. This word has the meaning of following something mentally, that is, understanding it, and following it out until one grows in understanding of it, and then develops an attachment to it because one appreciates it and conforms one's life to it so that one is walking according to that teaching. And Paul uses a form of this verb here, which means that you have done this in the past and you're still doing it. And you're doing it to this very moment. Paul's known him for a number of years. And so Timothy has been on the right path, and thus explains Paul's confidence in him. But that's also a revelation of the heart of Timothy. So then what we see in this statement about Timothy's capability is a profile of his heart, as that heart has been revealed in his faithfulness in teaching and in his conduct, his reliability, his capability to serve the Lord's interests for the good of the church. Because it's the Lord he serves. He doesn't serve himself. He's not serving to advance himself. And that's another reason why Paul has confidence in him. He's not promoting Timothy. He's promoting the interests of the Lord. So when we read this, we go back to those words, these things. If you put the brethren in mind of these things. Now ask the question, by what authority may a minister of the word of God today speak to a congregation about Christian character? Well, here is part of the responsibility of the minister of the word, or this is one way of expressing his responsibility generally. He's to put a congregation in mind of these things, to give instruction on these things. Well, what things? What things is Paul talking about? We could answer that by looking at only the preceding five verses. But that's only a small part of what Paul's been talking about in this letter, and it fits in with what he had been discussing before that and with what he's going to be discussing after this passage concerning Timothy's responsibilities. The best place to answer this question about these things, what does Paul have in mind when he uses the phrase these things, is to go to chapter 3 and verse 14. Where Paul uses the identical phrase. And he says to Timothy, these things write I to thee, hoping to come to thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how men or how you ought to behave themselves or yourself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. And I gave you two possible translations of that, how men or people ought to behave themselves in the church, or how Timothy ought to do so, because the original here doesn't identify either way what Paul's talking about, which leads me to believe that Paul's speaking here in a general sense about everybody in the church. But what convinces me of that is the content of the letter. The content of the letter, the whole content of this letter, is not about Timothy's role in the church. It's about the whole congregation, everybody in the congregation. So about these things, what God has to say about the conduct and the place of everybody in the congregation and what they ought to mean to the congregation is what Timothy is supposed to be talking about. When he gives the instruction of these things, he has a duty to do so. This means that he's speaking to the hearts of people. And whether or not those hearts will hear what God has to say about their conduct as a congregation and as individuals in the congregation is going to be answered in their own hearts by how they respond to what God has to say about this. Timothy's role is simply to serve as God's instrument, to make known what God says about a congregation and the members of it. Now, we have to leave it at that point for the moment because this is an introductory lesson. Some of these things we will delve into more deeply as this series is developed on Christian character, not just character of any human being, but Christian character. Christian character is formed by the gospel. I'm going to go back then to chapter 1 at verse 3. What is the first matter that Paul deals with in this letter? Paul's been talking about these things. So what's the first thing that Paul dealt with in this letter? Chapter 1 and verse 3. Timothy, put them in mind of these things. Instruct them in these things. If you do so, you'll be a good minister of Christ Jesus, nourished in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine which you follow to now. These things I've been writing to you, that people in the church know how to behave themselves, how to conduct themselves as a congregation. So what are these things? Well, here's the first of these things. And you'll notice this passage speaks to the human heart of Christians. As I exhorted thee to tarry at Ephesus when I was going into Macedonia, thou mightest charge certain men not to teach a different doctrine, nor to give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questionings that are contrary to God's dispensation, that is, his stewardship, his plan for the development of his people. Then he says, I want you to continue to do that. What God has planned for us, his stewardship or dispensation, is in faith. Where does faith come from? The word of God. So Timothy is to teach God's word to bring these people back to the word of God and away from things that some of them have turned to. He's to speak to their hearts about this. And then notice this in verse 5, but the end of the charge, that is the goal of this instruction, the end of the charge is this: love out of a pure heart and a good conscience and faith unfeigned. Is this instruction that speaks to the heart then? Look at those words. Here's the goal of this instruction, to produce this in the hearts of Christians. And what does Paul call it? Love out of a pure heart and a good conscience and faith unfeigned. To read those words is to think about the ways that sin and Satan can be at work to bring about a willfulness in the minds of people that shows that they have moved away from a devotion to where God's word would lead them. They've allowed themselves to be guided by human emotions and desires, feelings, and intentions, and one's own plans and will about how to do something. And so it was among these people at Ephesus, there were those who were troubling them with their teachings. Paul speaks to them in verses 6 and 7. And observe the way Paul describes those people, from which things some having swerved, that is, they took a different route. This word means to turn off a certain way and go a different way. They have swerved from these things. So what things did they swerve away from? They swerved away from the things that would have produced the right kind of heart in Christians. So they've gone down a way that shows a different attitude, a different way of thinking. And what's it going to lead to? Is it going to lead to true spirituality? No, it can't. It can't go there. If they've changed their hearts toward God and they're no longer being guided by what God says about the Christian heart, the Christian life, and the church, they're not going to end up at the same place where God would have his people go who are guided by the gospel. They've swerved from these things, he said. And they've turned aside to vain talking. This means talk that is empty of everything that's profitable, because it's talk that is guided by their own thoughts and not by the thoughts of the gospel. Desiring, that's a word that has to do with the heart. Desiring. What is it they desire? They desire to be teachers of the law. The word can also be translated doctors. Doctors of the law. Well, that was an eminent title among the Jews. And evidently there were some Christians of a Jewish background who become enamored with this way of thinking about being exalted. And they fancied themselves to be doctors of the law. Paul said they don't even begin to understand what they're talking about. Read his words about it. They don't understand what they're saying. Oh, they have plenty to say, all right. And he says they speak confidently. Oh, they affirm very insistently. and with strong tones of speech. And they convince a lot of people, because their people are, sadly, we're often weak to certain kinds of persuasion. And they have an effect, says Paul. No doubt about that. So he's given Timothy a very difficult task. But if Timothy will confine himself to the method that Paul gives him, then he will be a good minister of Christ Jesus. What is that method? Keep on teaching what God's word says about these things. And let the word of God work in the hearts of people who are willing to receive it. Does that mean that some hearts will have to change? Well, sure it does. God's word changes your heart and my heart. If it isn't changing our hearts, then there's something wrong with us. We ought to be a changeable people before God and the influence of his word. And hence the importance of the role of Timothy and the congregation Ephesus, and the importance of the role of anyone who's handling God's word and teaching it in a congregation, be it from the pulpit or in a classroom, or a mommy and daddy reading it at home and teaching it to their boys and girls. The word of God is speaking to our hearts. There is a song in our songbook, "Is Thy Heart Right with God?" That's well worth reading, that song, thinking about that, what it says. Is thy heart right with God? The chorus of that song says, "Is thy heart right with God, washed in the crimson flood, cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly, right in the sight of God?" Now, that song is sometimes used as an invitation song to urge people to be cleansed by being baptized in Christ, to have their sins removed. And that is one of the purposes of baptism into Christ. Receive salvation, receive the cleansing of sin. Thank God it's so. One can be baptized in Christ with the assurance that God will surely take away their sins. But did you hear all of that line? Because the person who wrote that had an understanding of the influence of God's word upon the heart of a person, that it begins to take hold when that person is willing to be baptized into Christ and be cleansed from sin. But it must continue in the Christian life and Christian character. Cleansed and made holy, humble and lowly. We must continue to be a people who submit our hearts to God's word, to let it guide our thoughts. If our character as Christians and our place among God's people in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, shall be what God wants it to be. Let us stand and sing.